ADD Cast number 2. Tonight, we have a special treat. Joining me in the studio is my lovely and talented Mrs.
Greetings. Hello, fellow travelers.
Welcome to the real world, or at least the Paul world.
The Paul and Martha world.
That's right, the Paul and Martha world. Of course, the podcast is named for me because of the whole ADD thing. So, what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about beer?
Beer.
Beer.
Beer me,
beer
dude.
Me. Cheers.
Mmm. That's good stuff.
Tonight we are drinking the incredibly sweet.
Incredibly unbeer-like.
Yes, incredibly girly beer-like.
Exactly. Belgian Lambic.
Yes. Raspberry Lambic. Framboise.
Nope.
No?
Framboise. No, you're correct. I am sorry. Forgive me. My French fails me periodically.
You know I love being right.
I know you love being right.
We are drinking Raspberry Lambic, having just come back from a lovely dinner at On the Border, where we had a little tequila. We had just a touch of tequila and ice water and flavoring in our salt and had it called a margarita. Everything there was very salty tonight.
It was a perfectly adequate amount of tequila to start me on the road to mellow.
Oh yeah, it's a lovely drunk. It's a lovely, lovely drinking thing that we're doing.
It's a drunken lovely thing.
Yeah. So that's what we're drinking tonight. Who knows what we'll drink next time, but I really enjoy listening to other people's podcasts when they're drinking, especially when they get seriously bombed. Michael and Evo's Dragon Page Winging It show is the one that they drink on, and I'm trying to arrange to actually be in Phoenix one weekend when they're podcasting so I can get drunk with them.
Because, you know, you need drinking buddies.
I do need drinking buddies. I really despise drinking alone. And I despise drinking in bars most of the time, too.
Well, you know, if you don't know the people in the bars, then you're pretty much drinking alone in a crowd.
Yeah, yeah. And that whole ADD thing, you know, the weight of the noise. I don't like the smell of smoke. Yeah, and they typically serve piss water. I should talk into my own microphone and not look at you. Because I'm hearing you through your microphone. They typically serve piss water or swill at American bars for what they call beer. And I like my beer to actually have some flavor to it.
Well, you know, even if it is a sweet, girly beer flavor.
In my own defense, this is leftover from our attempt at indulging last Friday.
You know you like it.
I do like it. But, you know,
You could be drinking. Why don't you drink?
I could be drinking. I just drank. All right. Sentences, words. Word things failing me. So where has the ADD cast been? Well, I have a very simple concept for you.
He got distracted.
Hold on one sec. What the fuck? Oh. The levels on this thing are just going insane. I don't know why. See how they're pulsing? All right,
yes.
I'm just going to leave it alone. We'll worry about it later. So, I haven't written a podcast in a while, and, well, yeah. My old quote is, I haven't written in a while. Well, neither has Shakespeare. So.
Well, you don't have the same, you know, handicap that Shakespeare does, though. I mean, after all, he is English, and
that's
you're American.
True. That's true. I'm American, so I don't have that handicap. I can actually speak the language. So here we are in the basement podcasting headquarters. And
yes, it will be another laundry cast.
Yes, it will be another laundry cast. We will be pausing occasionally. Tonight, not my laundry being done. Tonight, Martha's laundry is being done. What kind of laundry are you doing tonight, sweetie?
Well, let's see. We're doing clothes.
Clothes. Would that be over clothes or under clothes?
Over clothes to start with, followed by under clothes, followed by blue jeans.
Yay.
Yay.
Clean clothes. I love clean clothes.
Yep.
It's a good thing. I'm bombing.
You're bombing?
Yeah. All right.
You're just not... You know, you're not coming up with any material.
I'm not lubricated enough. I need more beer. More beer! We need a pod slave to bring us beer.
Don't have one of those. Just
nope.
Have to, you know.
Ain't got one of them.
Have to get that when we get up to get the dryer.
Yep. So what else is there? What else is there if... what did I want to talk about? I wanted to talk about ADD drugs. I've been taking these stimulants for a number of years now, and they've been doing reasonably well by me. My cousin Marissa put it best, because she was taking the same medication, in that it robs you of joy. Adderall is the name of the medication, and this is at least for us. I mean, it kept me on a fairly level, in a fairly level place, but there just really was no joy in my life. It was like constraining me so much. I didn't get angry, but I also didn't get happy. So I kind of got sick of that, and. And wanted to actually feel something, so now I am on Strattera, which I'm still adjusting to, still getting used to.
The whole weaning off of Adderall and getting onto Strattera time frame, couple of weeks, was very hard for you.
Yeah. So was it hard for you living with me?
It was kind of normal, apart from you getting up in the middle of the night and being really tired during the day.
Okay,
but you know, most of the time I didn't realize that you were up.
Well, I'm glad I could tiptoe around and not disturb you, because I hate being up in the middle of the night, and I wouldn't want to inflict it on anyone.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But this thing has, I don't know, 7 gazillion side effects.
There was that momentary nauseous thing that was kind of freaky.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's the really fun one, is the nausea, because it, like, sneaks up on me, and it only lasts, like, 5 minutes, and it hits me once a day, but I really, you know, even when I have nothing in my stomach, doesn't matter if I'm eating, if I have eaten, if I'm gonna eat, it's just, I feel like I'm about to toss my cookies all over the fucking room.
Oh, honey, you have morning sickness.
Is that it?
That's it.
If I were on TV, then I would be puking, and everyone would know I would be pregnant.
That's right.
Because anyone who pukes on TV, is pregnant. That's the universal sign for, secret hint to audience.
That would be the Esperanto.
Yes.
Shorthand for I am pregnant.
Yes. So, there you have it. But, actually, the staying up... The waking up in the middle of the night and the not sleeping all that well is what's really starting to bug me. So I'm probably going to have to go back and change the dose on that, because 3-4 o'clock comes around and I can barely keep my eyes open.
That'd be 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and I'm completely zoned out till like 9 at night, and then I start getting my energy back, and then I crash, go to bed at 11, and somewhere between 3 and 5 o'clock, I'm getting up again. So, we'll see how that flies. It's going to take some time to adjust the level of the medications and see the interaction with caffeine, because I just love my coffee. we get this great coffee from directly from the farm in Hawaii.
That would be Heavenly Hawaii Hawaiian Farms.
Yes.
Let me try that again. Heavenly Hawaiian Farms.
Yes, which you can reach at heavenlyhawaiianfarms.com, and we are not getting paid.
Nope.
This podcast is brought to you by our day jobs. Day jobs. They keep a roof over your head.
Yeah. And we already know, don't quit them.
Yes. Except that two people that I like, one of whom you're going to hear his music on the show tonight, and the other one is Drew Domkus from the Dawn and Drew Show. And if you're not listening to the Dawn and Drew Show, shut this off and go download the Dawn and Drew Show. And then you can turn this back on, and as soon as we're done, you can listen to them. Because Drew just quit his day job so that he could podcast full-time.
And you know, they're way funnier than we are.
Yes. Way funnier than we are. We wish we could be Dawn and Drew. But then we would have to live on a farm and be poor.
On a farm in a northern state where the winters are long.
And hard.
No.
All right, well, you know. I suppose there's good parts to being them, but we're us. The other person who quit his day job is a gentleman by the name of John Colton. I have permission to play his music. And he writes the funniest shit you have ever heard. And it's just, the lyrics are what get me. It's just so deep. And I've been trying to corrupt everyone I know into listening to his stuff. And I cannot get anyone to listen to his stuff on their own yet. So you're going to get a listen. We'll play one or two songs of his tonight. What? You have that sheepish look on. Are you going to start banging on me now?
No. I was just thinking about what you said. The person people downloading are going to think, oh, well, you know, he must not be very good if Paul's pushing his music and people won't go listen to it on their own. And it's quite the contrary.
Yeah, that's a reflection on me, not on Jonathan Colton. So, jonathancolton.com, you can buy his CDs on CD Baby. But
please stick with us long enough to give him a try.
Yeah. You know, forward fast through us, listen to him. That's okay. Yep. And you guys are missing the hand puppet motions that are going on here. So where does that leave us? We went through the Jonathan Colton.
Mm-hmm.
Went through
AED drugs.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the three gentlemen, or possibly two, who are coming by tomorrow to give us an estimate on the bathroom?
Oh, well, we have to start with the previous gentleman who came in, gave us an estimate on the bathroom.
Oh, no, honey, we need to go back further. We've been trying to get the bathroom redone for over a year, and we finally got our act together, I guess, April, and had someone come in and give us an estimate of what it would take.
Yeah, and then you know, we started asking him to, like, present us with prices for all of these different things, and he was like, No. That contract I gave you, you have to go find all this stuff. And we were like, Razor, French, Russian. So, you know, I've been working my ass off. I've been out of town a lot, and we've been, you know, procrastinating. So, you know, why put off today what you can put off tomorrow?
And, you know, we have day jobs.
That's true. We do have day jobs. So, We finally got around to, you know, going through the Home Expo and picking out different pieces, you know, the sink and the toilet and the handles and
the
tile and all the, you know, the vanity. And some of this shit, some of these places want, you know, they have these, like, hand-blown glass sinks, just the sink. No plumbing, just a round piece of glass with a hole in the bottom. And they want like $2,000 just for a sink.
Tempered glass, sweetie.
Tempered.
But we're not getting a tempered glass.
No, we are not getting a tempered glass.
There was a while there where we thought we were getting porcelain. Was it porcelain over steel?
Yeah. That's what we were thinking about.
No, I think it must be something else over steel. But it turned out that we got talked out of that on account of most bathroom sinks aren't. And we just went with straight...
Enamel over steel.
We just went with straight porcelain.
Yeah. So, anyway, we go through and we spend months gathering all these parts. And we go to this place down the road, Ryko Kitchen and Bath. We go in on the weekend and we pick out all this stuff for a vanity. And, you know, first off, like, we're trying to keep the budget reasonable. We're talking about a piece of wood.
Oh, it's a piece of furniture.
It's a piece of furniture, but it's 3 foot wide and not even 2 foot deep.
Yeah, two drawers and a door.
And what, about 3 foot tall? Regular bathroom.
Possibly, yep.
Vanity height, and door and drawers and stuff like that, and with the top on it. Well, first off, for the cabinet itself, they want between $700 and $1,000.
And yeah, that doesn't count the fixtures. It doesn't count the sink. It doesn't count the whatever the top is.
No, it's just the wood. There's no plumbing. There's no sink. There's no countertop. Just the wood. They want between $700 and $1,000. And then we get to the countertop. So apparently these countertops come in these these stone slabs or manufactured stone slabs that are like 15 or 16 feet long.
Of course, we picked the most expensive color.
Yeah, yes. But even so, they charge you for the whole slab. And if you order less than the whole slab, they charge you an extra 50%, roughly. So think about this. They have this 15-foot slab. They're cutting 3 foot of it off for us. They're keeping 12 foot, which they can sell to somebody else. And they're charging us an extra 50%. And this whole big slab that you picked out was like $700.
They gave us some bogus number.
It was well over $1,000 just for our little piece of countertop.
Yep. And then that plus the cabinet plus the sink plus the fixtures brought this whole thing up to $2,000. And you're thinking, that's a really nice couch. This is just... It's a little cabinet.
It's an iMac.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and it doesn't do as much, you know?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It just sits in your bathroom. You're going to see it for maybe an hour a day. Maybe.
Although I must say that it handles water better.
Than an iMac or an iBook? Yes. Yeah. But $2,000, you could buy a small hot tub.
It wouldn't fit in the...
In that space.
No. It wouldn't fit. No.
Wouldn't fit there. No,
And you really can't store your toiletries or your toilet paper or things like that.
Are those the trees that toilets grow on?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
No. Fruiting bodies. Very strange fruiting bodies.
Such a fruit.
Yes. Have you seen what the flowers look like on the toilet trees?
Yeah, on the toilet trees, yes. Toilet flowers. The commodia.
Yes.
But $2,000, no. Not going to happen. We just weren't going to do it. Weren't going to put up with it.
We dug our heels in.
Well, actually, we dug our heels in and we managed to get it down to like $1,300,
$1,400. Not even
that. I was still, you know, I was ready to chew my arm off at this outrageous price for a fucking cabinet. Oh, there we go. We're explicit now. I said the F-bomb.
You've already said it.
Did I?
Sotto voce. Earlier.
Oh.
You were looking at the levels.
Oh, fucking levels. All right. I don't know if we were recording then. But anyway, so I'm ready to gnaw my fucking arm off and just hand it to them because, you know, pretty soon they're going to want the leg too. And then I finally take the advice of my good friend, my best friend from high school, New York Lou the Architect.
That's correct.
who told me at the beginning of this to go to Home Death Spot. And I went to Home Death Spot, and I had gone there before, and all they had were these pre-made Northern Virginia standard throw it together cheap ass house vanities, which is what the house came with, which we don't like.
Which you don't like.
I don't. Like.
I am neutral about.
I don't like them. Everybody has them. I don't like them. So, you know, I see these pre-manufactured granite tops on display, and I'm looking at them, and they're like $250 because they're being made for Home Depot, so that they, you know, somebody out there is taking the 15-foot slab and cutting it into 3-foot sections, you know, and drilling a hole in it, and they're selling volume to Home Death Spot. So we sit down and we design a cabinet and put this top on it, and all told $850, which I still think is high for a small piece of furniture, but it looks as good as what they wanted to charge us $2,000 for at a custom place. And the custom place, they wouldn't call you back. We'd go in there on a Saturday and ask them all sorts of questions.
And they would tell us, oh, well, we can't actually give you a quote because the person who works with your contractor isn't here on Saturdays.
Right. But they'll get back to you on Monday. Just send us an email. Call us. We'll get back to you. And after, I don't know, maybe a month, 5 weeks of these jagoffs just screwing around, not picking up a phone to call us back, we said, screw it. We said, that's it. It's over. We want no more of this place. And that's when I started looking around at other places, and I happened to be in the Home Death Spot looking for a light bulb.
When the light bulb went off over his head,
that's
and he
right.
remembered what New York Lou the Architect had told him.
That's
New York,
right.
New York Lou the Architect, who ripped out the guts of the house that he was living in and redesigned it while they were living in it.
Room by room.
Room by room.
And I actually stayed at their house a couple of times while they were doing it.
It was very much the boy in the bubble there for a while.
Yes. It took a long time for him to do the living room. But I was over when he had finished doing the demolition on the bathroom, and there's like one full bath in the house at the time. Actually, I think there were two full baths in the house. One in the basement apartment where his in-laws were living.
Yes, it was a sitcom.
Yes, yes, it was a sitcom. His in-laws are downstairs in the basement. But upstairs on the second level is the full bath, and he had a half bath on the main level, and they have this like mud room off the back porch. And what he did was he kind of he took the water lines off of he split them off the washer, the clothes washer, and rigged a shower head with outdoor faucet handles on the back porch. And that was the best shower I have ever used in my life. It just had this amazing amount of pressure. And you look down and you're standing on red brick and the water is just like running underneath the door down the steps outside, you know, and it's got like a regular screen door in it, so you're looking out at the world. You know, of course, this only worked in the summertime, and his wife had to hang a shower curtain when she used it. But, you know, for the guys, we could stand there and shower and, you know, watch what was going on in the world outside.
So it was almost a pity that he actually finished the bathroom.
Yeah, but he did such a nice job. But it was such a trip, though. I opened the door to the bathroom, and I'm looking down through the beams at the kitchen. because he when he took the flooring up, he noticed problems with the ceiling in the kitchen below. So he just ripped the ceiling out in the kitchen.
It was a project that just kept going.
It did. But he did such a great job on it, and I helped him lay the subfloor, which was kind of a trip, you know, he would walk out on the beams, and I would hand him the plywood, you know, until there was enough for me to stand on, and then bring more in for him.
I know this doesn't sound like he's doing very much architecture, but, you know, he wasn't doing architecture in his own house.
No. He was rebuilding his house from the ground up, one room at a time. Which I think is really cool.
It's a lovely house now.
It is a very lovely house. And they have two very lovely children.
And, you know, the in-laws downstairs.
Yep.
So, it definitely was a sitcom.
Yep. Although his in-laws, I think they go away for the winter to, South Carolina or North Carolina or something. They probably have a Winnebago or something.
Continuing sitcom.
Yes, continuing the sitcom.
Yes, and we have to distinguish New York Lou the architect from our other friend, Virginia Lou, husband of Virginia.
Yes. Virginia's Virginia Lou.
Yes. All right, that died.
All right, yeah. We're bombing now.
Okay.
All right.
More beer.
You're out of beer. You want some of mine?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Here, take some of mine.
Here, you can have the empty one.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, so what else were we going to talk about? Hurricane Katrina? Well, let's talk about Hurricane Katrina. We have some good stories. Our friend, Martha's mother and sister.
Well, first of all,
we're down there.
I was born and raised in Mississippi.
I was born a poor black child.
That got whiter as I grew up.
Yeah.
Kind of pasty white now, yeah.
Yeah.
You too, huh?
They could use us as mirrors to reflect the sun.
Yeah, but only for a while. After a while, we'd get kind of red.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we'd have to go back to our computer rooms and our basements.
But I was born a poor black child in Mississippi. Not really. But I still have family back in Mississippi. I have a sister, lives on the Gulf Coast in Gulfport. And my mother lives in Laurel, Mississippi. I have good friends from college who live in Hattiesburg. They have a lovely house in Hattiesburg, which now has a...
No, you're jumping ahead. Gotta lay out the cast of characters first.
I have other...
So your mother and your sister, Patty. Patty lives in Gulfport. Your mother lives in Hattie. No, in Laurel, Mississippi. Right.
And Laurel's is 30 miles, roughly, from Hattiesburg. And Hattiesburg's about 90 miles from the coast.
Right.
And
Hattiesburg are Ron and Lynn.
Ron and Lynn, my good friends from college. Actually... Right. I knew them when I was in college. They weren't in college with me. We all lived in
a
lovely...
submarine.
Well, no, actually, it was much worse than the Yellow Submarine. We all lived in a lovely apartment complex. The only polite way to refer to it was the Oedipus Complex, because it was so motherfucking bad. And I have another good friend from college, Barry, who lives down in Mobile with Georgia. And that would be Barry lives in Alabama with Georgia. And he decided to evacuate Mobile, his house in Mobile, up to Hattiesburg, which is 90 miles from the coast and should be relatively safe from hurricanes. And a lot of people evacuate up into the Hattiesburg, Laurel area from the coast. And it was a lovely hurricane. It was kind of headed directly for New Orleans, and then it took that little right turn and missed hitting New Orleans directly. Although there were quite a number of catastrophic events that occurred, even so, and decided to, you know, just bear right up 59, headed for Hattiesburg, right over Hattiesburg, kind of clipped Laurel on one side, on the bad side of the hurricane, and went right over Meridian. So, there was some flooding in Mobile, but Barry's house was perfectly fine. There was no damage. And he and Georgia were, you know, right there in Hattiesburg, for, at the heart of the action, for the eye of the hurricane to pass over. And Barry is just, you know,
If I am the poster child for ADG 2005, Barry is my competition for 2006.
Yes, I would say so. Barry likes to test things. Hey. Barry likes to test things out, you know. Very scientific of him, more or less. His focus in college, his major in college was biology. And he teaches at the Alabama School of Mathematics and
Science.
And Science, that's right, ASMS.
Yep.
So he would periodically, during the hurricane, step outside the back door of my friends Lynn and Ron's house. And they kept telling him, "Get away from the door, Barry. Get away from the door." And
speak up.
He stepped away from the back door just as they heard a mighty crack, and the tallest tree in their backyard gave them a new skylight right over the back door.
Yep.
So we're telling folks that, you know, Barry tried to kill himself during the hurricane.
Yes. Suicide by tree.
Correct.
Yes.
And he and Ron then started a kind of a betting pool as to whether or not the big tree in the front yard would come down on the porch or would land on the neighbor's house. Fortunately, it did neither, and it's still there.
Yep. But, you know, other than that, they didn't suffer any damage, and
now, other than that hole in the roof and the
other
tree
than the hole
lying
in the roof and the tree coming down, they didn't lose their house.
No,
your mother didn't have any major damage to her house, other than the
she had a couple of limbs were knocked out of her magnolia tree, and one of the limbs apparently knocked the meter box, the electric meter box off the house. So she couldn't quite get her electricity restored until that was fixed, and that's been fixed now.
Yep.
And my sister, amazingly enough, my sister's house in Gulfport has survived fairly well. She does have some roof damage, and as a result, water did get in the house and the upstairs part of the house. She was in an area of Gulfport which was not inundated with the storm surge, and so she does have some water damage, but it's much, much better than could be expected. And we're very happy to report that all of these individuals have electricity again, and about half of them, I guess, actually have phones. And my sister is living on a cell phone, and my mother doesn't have a phone.
Yeah, and we've been contemplating whether or not we can teach. How old is your mother?
Late 70s, sweetie.
Yeah, a late 70s Luddite had to use a cell phone. I just don't think it's possible. I spent like 2 hours total with my dad trying to teach him how to lock the keyboard on his cell phone, the keypad, so that he wouldn't make pants calls. Now, for those of you who don't know what a pants call is, if you have a cell phone that has the buttons on the front and you don't lock the keypad and you stick it in your pocket, just the normal motion of you walking, your keys and coins bumping up against it when you get in your car, you will dial somebody's number at some point, and somebody will pick up the phone. And they can hear you in the background, or somebody driving, or a conversation.
Ambient noise.
Right, but nobody hears them. And this is a pants call, because your pants are calling them. It's not actually you making the call. My father had not only made several pants calls on his phone, but he had managed to make a pants call that forwarded his phone to a 5-digit number, which essentially meant that when you called his phone, nothing happened because it's an invalid number. And it took a while to straighten all that out. But I'm just thinking of the amount of time that I spent working with my dad to go, okay, Dad, push the top left button, push the bottom left button, top left, bottom left, top left, bottom left. You push the same button to lock it that you do to unlock it. It's two buttons, top left, bottom left, top left, bottom left. What button? Which button? What do I push? What does it do? Top left, bottom left, top left, bottom left. All right. Crazy old man. So I don't want to have to go through this with her mother. That's all I'm saying.
But honey, you wouldn't. Patty would.
I know, but
you don't want to put Patty through this?
I don't want to put Patty through it because your mother's worse than my father. And there you have it. But, you know, we're just grateful that at least the people that we know didn't suffer any major damage because I'm sure you all have seen the pictures of what went on in New Orleans and down on the Gulf Coast in the county that my mother-in-law lives in. 90% of the houses
were reported as being destroyed, but it's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, they're talking about will either are destroyed or will have to be destroyed. We would go down to Dolphin Island, which is just south of Mobile, Alabama, and vacation there. And
this figure, I do believe this is 1 in 10 houses on the west end, which is pretty much the sandspit part of the island. 1 in 10 houses are left standing.
Yeah. 90% of the, and we actually saw the pictures of the West End, and people had been putting up houses like mad in the last couple of years, and they're all gone. I mean, in some cases, there's no trace of the pilings, much less the house. Fortunately,
the East End of the island, which is much, you know, much more established, it's got a bluff that the golf course sits on. Lots of green.
Well, that's a sand dune more than a bluff.
Yeah, but it has trees. It's a very established. It's got live oaks. It's got pine trees.
Yep.
It's got the Ship and Shore, which reopened 12 hours after the hurricane.
Gotta love the Ship and Shore.
You gotta love the Ship and Shore.
Yeah, we're hoping the Cow and Bean is still in business.
Yeah, that would be nice. That's the local coffee and ice cream shop.
And if they hear this, I want sorbet next year. I need stuff without milk. And that means picking up a bottle of soy milk or rice milk before I get there.
You want them to be the soy and bean next year?
Yes, I want them to be the soy. Now, they can make the ice cream and the milk things for everybody else. All, you know, the stuff doesn't go bad for a year. It costs $1.69 to buy a bottle of soy milk, and when you open it, you throw it out a week later. Okay, it's the business that you're going to get by having that one bottle of soy milk there.
You'll get Paul's business.
You'll get my business. I'm sure you'll get a lot of other business from people who can't do milk. That's all I'm saying. You know. But Cow and Bean, good stuff. I hope the bakery is still there. Anyway, we love Dolphin Island.
We do.
We do. And hopefully there's some real estate that's going to be really cheap there soon.
Oh, I doubt it.
I doubt it too, but you never know.
So anyway, the 120 year-round residents of Dolphin Island are all safe. They all evacuated because they're not stupid. Island is
it's a sandbar.
Not, yeah.
It's a sandbar. I grew up on a sandbar, Long Island. But my sandbar was
considerably larger.
114 miles long by 20-some-odd miles wide at its widest. And, you know, hurricane isn't going to do to Long Island what it will do to Dolphin Island, which is Dolphin Island, it cut the island in half. You know, so we're waiting to hear more reports on that. But, you know, whatever you can do to help the people that were affected by Hurricane Katrina, do it. If all you can do is give money, give money. If you don't have money to give, you know, organize a car wash and get some money to give to them. you know, if you can open your house and let someone stay with you for even for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, just so they have some place to go while they're trying to get back on their feet.
There are a number of places that you can register.
And I'll put those in the show notes. We'll get some of the good ones in the show notes.
And if you can't afford to do that, then, you know, donate your time.
Yeah. Give blood. I give blood on a regular basis. I have a fairly rare blood type. They call me to get my blood. And I give blood as often as I can. Unfortunately, I've already given blood within the window of when I can give blood because they were short of blood before Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, in Europe, they went through World War II, and people got used to going, you know, every month, every 2 months, whatever the time limit is between giving blood, and giving blood because they needed to, and they still do it today. Americans are just bizarrely afraid. They're just, you know, a big bunch of wusses. You know, somebody sticks a needle in your arm, they take your blood, you might get a little woozy. If you get woozy, they stop. I've given over a gallon of blood, one pint at a time. I'm working on my second gallon. I think I'm almost halfway through.
Your second gallon.
Almost halfway through my second gallon. So, you know, I give 3, 4, 5 times a year. When I can, when I'm feeling, you know, sometimes they call me and I'm not feeling well, so I'm not going to give. But, you know, give blood. Go, you know, they have blood drives all the time. You can call up the Red Cross, you can call up your local hospital, and you can find out where there's a blood drive. This is the one thing money can't buy. We can't, there is no substitute for human blood. It comes from one place. It comes from you. And if you don't give blood, then there isn't blood for somebody else when they need it. And that's all, you know, that's all there is. We buy a lot of blood from Europe. We don't need to be doing that. You know, is it uncomfortable? Sometimes. Does it leave a mark? Usually not.
Yeah, no one's going to mistake you for a drug addict.
No. And, you know, I don't have track marks on my arms.
Nope.
You know, well, except from where the damn spiders bite me. but that's another story. Never mind. Anyway.
Are those the barking spiders,
sweetheart? No, those ones, the barking spiders don't bite. They sneak up on you and whack you, but they don't bite. Club you over the head sometimes.
It's a gas attack.
It is.
Chemical warfare.
Yeah, weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, give blood. Everyone...
Be generous.
Everyone can do it. It takes 20, 30 minutes of your time, tops. When you're done, you get cookies. Free cookies. What could be better? Free cookies. Now, some people take certain medications. You know, they have, you know, if you have been out of the country, blah, 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 they run you through a whole screening process. If you can't give blood, you walk away. Most of you can give blood. So you can do something beyond sending money. You can donate time to go down to a food shelter and help sort food. You know, there are lots of things that you can do to help your fellow man who's in trouble.
Contact your local Red Cross. Your local church is probably organizing something.
Yeah. You know, just say, how can I help? What can I do?
Yep.
You know, maybe you can sort clothes at a local church into boxes and label the boxes. It's just stuff that has to be done. And it's going to be done by people. So, you know, pitch in.
So, perhaps we will get off our high horse at this point.
Yeah. I think we'll get off our high horse We'll play you a couple of tunes. And
time for me to load the dryer.
Yeah, it's coming up on 40 minutes, so I think we're pretty much done. We'll try and keep this under 45 minutes here. Yeah, we should be under 45 minutes. So 45 minutes is a good length for a podcast, and you know, we hope you all enjoy it. And well, next time I'm in town, we'll get together and do this, and you know, maybe I'll be kind to y'all, and I'll throw some 5-minute podcasts in with a song on the end of them when I get a chance.
I'd just like to point out, honey, you said y'all.
I do say y'all. I say y'all all the time, y'all.
That Long Island boy.
That Long Island ball says y'all because he lives south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Sure, he does, but he's got an awful southern accent.
I do have an awful southern accent. I trained to get rid of my accent. I really did. I wanted to be a newscaster. So
here you are.
Here I am.
Podcasting.
You know, it's the whole face for radio thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a little video clip that goes along with this. I'll put that in the RSS feed, so you can download that too. And we'll show you the mess that we're podcasting from. And that's pretty much it. If you don't know Paul and Martha, then you know, feel free to contact us. You can find us at addcast.net. And if you want to send us email, and I would love an email from someone, anyone. This account gets no mail. Just send me an email. All right? Send me an email. addcast@gmail.com. Just send me an email. Maybe I'll send you a prize. I don't know. I got stuff around here I can send. If you need RCA cables, I have like boxes of RCA cables. I got boxes of Ethernet cables.
Power cables.
I got boxes of power cables.
A special ADD cast power cable.
That's right. So special, it doesn't say anything about the ADD cast on it.
Because he got distracted.
Happens all the time. All right. So from the basement, from the adjoining laundry room here, good night.
God bless.
All right, the Martha has left the room, and I snuck back down here to play you a John Colton song. The name of the song is "The First of May," and you really have to listen to the lyrics. His lyrics are very descriptive, absolutely wonderful. And in this case, at least, explicit. This is probably the most explicit song that he's written that I've heard. But I'm telling you, you're going to love it. So listen very closely to the lyrics. They sneak up on you. So don't listen to this at work without headphones. You have been warned.
This morning, I had a scone and a large house blend. Then a little conversation with my squirrel and chipmunk friends. I said I'm sick and tired of winter, and I wish that it was spring. Then a little fella named Robin Redbreast began to sing. And he sang, "Ooh, child, what'd you think of cold? Gonna last forever. Ooh, child, now's the time for all the people to get together outside. 'Cause it's the first of May, first of May. Outdoor fucking starts today. So bring your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, dip in your big toe. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside." I thanked him for the information. I cried a little when he flew away. I watched an episode of the People's Court and I tried to plan my day. I called up my old lady. She wasn't home, so I called my girl. I asked her if she'd like to join me as I entertain the world. And I said, ooh, child, I bring a blanket and I promise I will brush the ants off. Ooh, child, you're gonna like it when we're digging each other's pants off outside. 'Cause it's the first of me, first of me. Outdoor fucking starts today. So bring your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, dip in your big toe. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside. So we went to the park together. We were walking in the midday sun. Met all kinds of people and we fucked everyone. We fucked the lady who sells ice cream. We fucked a man with a tan sharp head. Everyone who needed fucking, well, they got fucked today. So come on, ooh, child, open your mind and your heart. Feel the spirit moving through you. Child, you feel the warmth of the love when I stick it to you outside. 'Cause it's the first of me, first of me. Outdoor fucking starts today. Bring your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, dip in your big toe. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside. Fucking outside. Fucking outside.
That's all for us, folks. We're out of here. Be good to yourselves and the people you love. Music arranged by Audrey Fisher. Thanks, Aud.